Develop across the area today as we climb in the upper 20s for highs. Winds out of the west-southwest develop at 5 to 10. Tonight, with partly to mostly cloudy skies, we'll head back to 17 for a low with a light west wind. Then we move into your Tuesday with a mix of clouds and sun, with a high at 33 with a light northwest wind. We'll then head back in the mid-teens for a low Tuesday night with partly cloudy skies. From the Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley on Supertalk 1270. Right now, 7 above.
Welcome to the Tech Ranch, live and local here on Supertalk 1270. The latest gadgets, online security, websites and apps, social media, and so much more. How can technology help you? Let's find out. It's time for the Tech Ranch on Supertalk 1270.
From our studio in beautiful Mandan, North Dakota, along the mighty Missouri River, here is your guru of geek, Marlo Anderson.
So does your computer get slower and slower? That's right. Great sound effects, Jim. Here, let's try another one. Is your computer coughing, racing, clicking, clacking? You know, and should it be doing that? Buddy Honorhan from Concierge Computer Services in White Sulphur Springs, Montana, will be here to discuss these ailments and more. And many of us have fallen for social media hoaxes on Facebook, Twitter, etc. We'll be talking about the top hoaxes of 2012. At the control panel today is my producer extraordinaire, Jim Walsh.
Wow.
Hey, I like more sound effects. I love it. So, have you fallen for any of these Facebook hoaxes this year?
This year, not so much this year. In the past, I have.
Okay.
But
okay.
Not this year. So far, so good. I'm crossing my fingers.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the hoaxes right now, and let's bring Buddy on the line, too. Buddy Honorhan from Concierge Computer Services, are you there?
I am, Marlo. Good morning.
Hey, good morning to you as well. And we're going to go off topic a little bit here, but I want both you and Jen to be commenting about the top hoaxes of 2012 on social media. So if you have something you want to chime in about, just let me know. The first one that I have on my list today is everybody's familiar with the current Hurricane Sandy that just happened here a few weeks ago. There was a photo that was going around of the Statue of Liberty with this monster cloud coming in that was shared across Facebook. Did either of you see this?
Yes.
How about you, Buddy? Did you see that as well?
Looking at it right now.
Oh, there you go. That was a hoax, believe it or not. What they had done is taken a photo of the Statue of Liberty, and then they had a photograph by photographer Mike Hollingshead. I'm not sure what he took a photo of, you know, the storm front, but somebody had photoshopped the two of them together, and of course, this photo was making the rounds on Facebook even before Sandy hit. And it was a huge, huge deal. So I remember getting it myself, and I was thinking, why would anybody, if you look at the photograph real closely, there are boats in the harbor around Statue of Liberty, and you're like, well, if you got a hurricane coming in, I just can't see a boat being out there. But
They're really stupid, which...
Well, which, you know. People surf in that, too, so yes. The second biggest one this year is the Back to the Future. Have you seen this one where they have, you know, the movie in the 1980s where Doc is going forward in time? Somebody had photoshopped the date June 27th, 2012 into the DeLorean set there. And the actual date is October 21st, 2015.
Ah.
And I remember seeing that and thinking, wow, we don't have floating cars yet, so how can this be true?
We got three more years,
that's right.
Give it time.
That's right.
Well, if you believe in the Mayan calendar, then you won't have to worry about it because we're not going to get that far.
That is true. Hey, Buddy, you and I are going to have to do a show just on the Mayan calendar in a week or two. That'd be okay, too.
There you go.
The number three scam of the year was Bald for Bieber. Now, I did not see this one, but I guess there were people that had shaved their heads to support the pop star who, according to a Facebook rumor, had cancer.
Oh.
So hundreds and hundreds of people did this, photoshopped tweets into his account with this thing. It was just a kind of a crazy deal.
I heard a story over the weekend that the cheerleaders for, I think it was the Baltimore Ravens, shaved their heads in honor of their coach who was fighting cancer.
Okay.
Let me see if I can pull that up.
Okay. This is a true story, though.
I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The number...
Well, I would have known about the Bieber thing because my 15-year-old stepdaughter would have... shaved her head. No, oh,
okay.
Not, but she would she would have been right on top of that one.
Yep. So obviously she did not see that, so which is a good thing.
Evidently not.
Yes.
Oh, it's the Indianapolis Colts.
There you go. Okay.
The cheerleaders shave their heads in support of the team's head coach, Chuck Pagano.
Okay.
In remission from his battle with leukemia, but still undergoing chemo.
Okay, so this is a true story, not a made-up one on there. So, okay.
I guess. I would hope. I mean, that's a hell of a thing to make a joke about.
That is true. That is true. Facebook shutting down. I bet Buddy heard this one here. March.
Yeah, all over the place.
Yeah, it was all over the place. They actually came out on March 15th, but I still see these posts claiming that Mark Zuckerberg wants his old life back and just wants to put an end to the madness, and he's shutting down Facebook, which, of course, gets people kind of upset and crazy because they have, you know, stacks of photos and posts on there that they want to hang on to. So that's a big deal, of course. Morgan Freeman, death rumors. Social media went crazy back in August about Morgan Freeman's passing, which, of course, was not true. And, in fact, had nearly 1 million likes. 1 million people had liked the post. I mean, just say in support of Morgan Freeman. And,
of course,
did not pass away. Facebook privacy status update. With the IPO of Facebook a few months ago, in June, there was a fake Facebook privacy notice that took the social network by storm. It urged users to repost a message that would allegedly protect their privacy. Totally false.
Right.
Yeah, and the last one, which I think probably has the biggest ramifications of everything I'm talking about, there was a fake kidnapping. And this was in... I do not have the date. I think it was just a month or two ago, but it was a 16-year-old girl from New Jersey. She tweeted, and this was on Twitter, as a matter of fact, that someone in her house had mysteriously disappeared. And then Twitter users rallied around the message, had nearly 34,000 people retweet her call for help, and then they found out it was faked. So
that was the 30th of September.
30th of September. Okay, so just not that long ago. This was a big, big deal, of course, and it lends credence to the fact that you should never believe everything you see on the internet.
Take it with a grain of salt.
You should always check alternate sources, you know, always check your local media. I always, you know, even with weather and that type of thing, it's a great place to get initial information, but you should always confirm those sources.
By the way, the thing with the Colts cheerleaders is apparently true.
Okay, very good. Very good. So any other comments on that at all, Buddy?
Good site to use to just, I don't know, sanity check things that come, these things that come across is Snopes, Snopes.
Yep. And say that again, buddy.
It's Snopes.com.
And that's
a great place to sanity check your posts that come across.
Snopes.com. Great place to check. You know, if you get an email that sounds too good to be true, you know, you want $1 million from the Canadian lottery. I know you and I talked about this a few weeks ago and whatever, but that is a great place to fact check all of this stuff just to see if it's rumor or for real. If it's not on the site, that doesn't mean that it's still not a rumor or false. It's just that it's a great place to start.
Right.
All right. All right, we're going to move on from there. And, Buddy, I first of all, I want to thank you for being on the show again. I know you were on a couple weeks ago, and everybody enjoyed having you on the show and had a lot of comments on that. So we wanted to continue the conversation. We talked a lot about viruses and that type of thing in the past, and we're going to kind of move on from there. We have a lot of people who ask about what they can do to improve their computers. You know, what can you do if your computer is running real slow, if my computer is ticking? There's all kinds of crazy things. And first of all, I think let's talk a little bit about noises and what some of these noises mean. So let's start with maybe a little racing. If your computer fan sounds like it's racing a lot, if you were to get a computer in like that, buddy, what would you think is going on with the thing?
Well, two choices, I guess, in a desktop, if I hear the fans racing, I guess in a laptop as well, the first thing I'm going to check is to make sure that the fan path is clear. You know, physical things can happen. Dirt gets in there, plugs up the heat sinks, chokes up a fan, that kind of thing. And, you know, about the only noise you should be able to hear from your computer is the fan.
Right.
Or maybe the CD-ROM drive when it spins, if it spins really fast.
Right, right.
So, you know, you just want to keep it cool and clean.
And if your fan is racing, that's probably a precursor to maybe some type of heat issue that you're going to experience. So the reason that we're bringing this up is that it's not a bad idea that, you know, if you're able to open the case and clean it up yourself, that's okay. As long as you know what you're doing. If you don't, it's not a bad idea to get it into a shop, because when I say precursor, that means that you probably have a heat problem that's going to happen, you know, and it's imminent if your fan is racing, meaning that you're going to have an issue with your motherboard or something in the near future. So when you hear your fan racing, it's a good time to go get it fixed before you have bigger issues.
You bet. I always recommend that people take their machines in about once a year. Just to have somebody go through them, you know, I try and recommend that with my customers. They don't always all do it, but a lot of times, by the time I get them in, it's a chunk of dirt with a computer around it. It can be really, really bad.
It's really amazing, actually, how much dirt gets collected inside a computer. And we're going to just break right there, and we'll talk about a little bit about why that happens in a little bit. So after the break, everybody, we will be talking about why your computer collects so much dirt and why your computer sometimes ticks and wheezes and coughs and everything else. So come on back, everybody.
The holiday podcasts of this and other shows are now available on supertalk1270.com.
Facebook.com/TheTechRanch or Twitter at Guru of Geek or at www.thetechranch.com. Here again is your Guru of Geek, Marlo Anderson.
Welcome back to the Tech Ranch, everybody, and we're talking with Buddy Honrahan from Concierge Computer Services in White Sulphur Springs, Montana, about what you can do when you have those weird noises happening from your computer. We were just talking about fans and if they're racing, and Buddy was just mentioning, go ahead and just refresh everybody about what to do in case you have a fan that's racing.
Well, you want to make sure that everything is clear in the air path. Make sure that it's breathing, the dust is down. Like you said, if you can get in there and clean a little bit yourself, then go ahead and do it. Be careful not to touch anything.
Yeah, and I always, you know, how do you feel about people taking a vacuum cleaner to their computers?
As long as they never touch it with the vacuum cleaner, well, it's reasonably safe. You always take a chance anytime you take the cover off.
Yep, and you know,
look at it. It's better to have somebody that's insured do it than to do it myself and blow it up.
And I think, you know, different vacuum cleaners will offer different types of, you know, they got the brushes and that type of thing. I think a person really has to be careful when you're in there with a vacuum cleaner, especially with those special brushes that they have in there, because those things actually carry a little bit of static electricity, and you got a lot of air running through them, so you can burn things out. So it's probably, you know, if you know something about it, I would, you know, it's a good thing to do. If not, take it into your local computer shop, and they'll get it cleaned out for you.
That you never ever want to spin a fan with air of any kind, either blowing or sucking with a vacuum cleaner.
Exactly.
You can overspin that fan in a minute, and then it will go out, and you will be taking it to the shop.
Yeah, and I see that happen a lot, actually, buddy. People go buy cans of air to clean out their computers, which is another popular way to do that, of course. And they'll be cleaning that fan. The best thing you can do is just put your finger or a pencil or something in that fan so it doesn't spin when you hit it with a blast of air, and that way you won't burn that fan out.
You bet. And with laptops, it's really difficult because by design, they are meant to suck air from the bottom
right. And
then blow it out to cool, and they're going to suck that dust inside of them, and they're going to try and blow it out through the little fan or the little radiator, and the radiator is going to plug on the inside, so it's really, really hard to clean.
Yep.
I actually have some photos on my website of a really dirty one.
They do get rather filthy on the inside. It's absolutely amazing, actually. So we'll move on from there, but I just want to let everybody know that cleaning your computer is a big deal. Now, if you get a little bit of a ticking, and I know you and I have not rehearsed anything that we're talking about today, so, and the reason that we are doing this is so that we... You, everybody gets a different opinion maybe of what these different sounds can be. But if you hear a tick, 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 tick going on in your computer, what would you be looking for?
I would immediately look at the hard drive.
Johnny, what does Buddy win today? That's exactly what I would do too. So
there's only a couple moving parts in the whole thing. So, you know, fans and hard drives and CD-ROMs and pretty much everything else is stationary.
Yep. So if you have
you're hearing a tick, tick, tick out of your hard drive, I'd be running to get a backup.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. If your computer is ticking, hard drive failure is imminent. So you need to do what you can do immediately if you need to back that computer up or whatever. But again, if you're hearing this, you know, we're not saying that you may have 3 minutes or whatever. You may have a few days or a week or two before that hard drive fails. But it is a telltale sign of that hard drive going bad. And if you hear that, it gives you an opportunity maybe to back that information up before the hard drive does fail.
And one thing I would say, if you're hearing that and your computer is working okay, hasn't given you any errors, I wouldn't shut it off right away. You know, if you know you want to do a backup and it's running okay, I would let it run. Go get your backup done before you shut it off. About half or maybe a little more of the computers that I see say, oh, I shut it off and it won't turn back on.
Right. I agree with you. I think that if you have a ticking sound going on, you should not turn your computer off, or at least until you get it to a computer shop or whatever, because I think the spin-up of a hard drive when they first initialize, of course, they run as hard as they can right away, sometimes it breaks that little spindle arm or whatever that's inside there, and that's where a lot of the problems happen then.
Yep, you bet.
Okay, any other noises that maybe a person can prevent some major things from happening that you can think of?
Well, I guess about the only other thing I've ever heard of and or seen, I guess, is a kind of a popping sound or a, you know, like electronics burning, if you will. A lot of times it comes with a smell.
Okay.
And that, you know, normally is a power supply. You get smoke from the back of the computer or a smell from the back, and that's one of those situations where you do want to shut it off right away and get the power removed from it.
And that smell that you're talking about is like a burnt electrical smell, correct?
Right, yeah, like it's even hard to describe if nobody's smelled it before, kind of a sweet hot smoke, but
okay.
Anything electronic, you know, electronics operates on smoke, and when you let the smoke out of it, it quits operating, so.
Yeah. That's a good way to say that. Yes. All right. Well, let's move on then to if something comes up where you think of another sound or whatever, you know, go ahead and bring that up. But one of the things I wanted to talk about too is how a person can keep your computer running okay. You know, and a lot of times computers get really, really slow, and a lot of people don't realize what's going on in there. And, you know, you buy a computer brand new, thing runs like just like a champ, and then 6 months or a year later, you're like, what is going on with this thing? You know, I really haven't done anything except put some computer programs on there, and it just doesn't seem to be working like it used to.
I had one crap out of me in a week.
Okay.
A brand new computer. I won't give the brand name.
Okay.
But it lasted exactly a week, and it just died. Nothing.
Well, it happens. You know, there are lemons in everything, of course. But, yeah, it's amazing how quickly some of these things, you know, go downhill and how slow these computers get. I mean, even the laptop that I'm working on right now just seems to be dogging right now. And what are some things that we can do, Buddy, to maybe improve the performance of our computers?
Well, first thing is a question. Is it slow all the time from the time you start it up till the time you shut it off, or is it only slow when you're on the internet?
Okay.
Because kind of two different dogs
sure.
in the show here. If it's all the time, it's probably crowded. I'll use that word with junk. They don't really get full. They get crowded. It gets the data that's on there gets spread out and. It's a long story, and we don't have time. But
well, you're talking about fragmentation, correct?
And, And then the other one would be the internet. Is your internet slow? Two reasons there. Either you're not getting the download that you're paying for, or it could be that your your browser history and temp files are so full that they have to erase stuff in order for you to see stuff.
Sure. Sure. You just your memory is so crowded with stuff that you need to clean that up a little bit. So the first thing then, I guess, would be, and I know this goes back to the last time I had you on here, but you know, spyware, malware, viruses, those things really, really, really will slow down your computer. So the best thing you can do is have a good antivirus on the computer, correct?
You bet. A good antivirus, some anti-spyware programs that either run all the time or you run periodically. Disk defragmentation is important, either the built-in one in Windows. They make some really nice aftermarket ones that'll schedule themselves as well. And keeping the temporary files down, which is something you kind of have to do manually.
Okay. And I'm sure you can hear the music there, which means we have to go to a break. So after the break, everybody, we will continue the discussion with Buddy Hanrahan from Concierge Computer Services about how to keep your computer tuned up. Come on back, everybody.
You're listening to Supertalk 1270's podcast, available online at supertalk1270.com.
Stream this program now at supertalk1270.com. Here is your guru of geek, Marlo Anderson.
Welcome back to the Tech Ranch, everybody. And on the phone with me this morning is Buddy Hanrahan. Buddy is the owner of Concierge Computer Services in White Sulphur Springs, Montana. And we're discussing what you can do to keep your computer running at optimal speeds, or whatever you want to call it. So anyway, welcome back to the show, Buddy.
Hey, thanks, Marlo. I really appreciate this opportunity. You know, I don't get out much, so this gives me a chance, and, you know, I really have a face for radio. So.
Well, we're glad to have you on the show. So we were just talking about defragmentation and what you can do to kind of free up some disk space on your hard drive, because that is one of the reasons why your computer will slow down after a while, is that it becomes your data becomes fragmented across the hard drive. And there's a real simple way you can fix that, and that is called the defrag utility that's built into Windows, and easy to find, isn't it, Buddy?
It's not bad, depending on the version of Windows. It's under accessories. So you go to all programs, you go to accessories, and in there are some system tools, and there's your disk defragmenter. Most of the versions of Windows have it located in the same place. You know, there's always exceptions to the rule.
Yep. And there are probably better disk defragmenters out there, you know, that a lot of computer shops and things will run. But for the most part, if you're defragging your disk regularly, and I think Windows 7 on up now, and the Macs as well, do this as an automated thing if you have your automated system stuff in place, correct?
Yeah, they do. Windows 7 does do it in the background. What people don't realize sometimes, though, is it doesn't do it when it's off.
That's true.
A lot of people, you know, turn their computer on, use it, shut it off.
Yep.
So that's one way to keep from getting a virus, you know.
Is having it turned off, but at the same time, the other.
Can't get a virus if it's off.
Right, but you can't keep it optimized if it's turned off either. So, absolutely correct. And speaking of that, you know, when you turn your computer, if you're one of those people that turn your computer on and off, it's not a bad idea to make sure that your Windows updates have happened, you know, and if they haven't happened, of course they haven't if you've had it turned off, make sure that those are happening when you have your computer turned on, as well as your virus definitions to make sure that you have the latest and greatest. Otherwise, you have a higher risk of getting infected.
Absolutely. Windows updates is critical to that, driver updates for the computer as well. Actually, you can tie slowness into our conversation about dirt as well, because when a computer gets a processor in the computer, the little engine gets hot, it actually slows itself down to keep from overheating.
That's correct. Yes. So again, going back to the dirt issue, dust issue, whatever you want to say, it really, really It really makes a big difference when you have that computer clean on the inside. So, and that doesn't mean you have to go in there and dust it every other week or whatever, but periodically that computer should be cleaned.
You bet. And, you know, and then the electronic issues, the like we were saying, the malware or the spyware or things that run in the background, multiple programs running, sometimes a reboot will take care of things. You know, you've clicked on a few things and they're started, and they started a process or something in the background, and it just slows everything down. But when you restart, that doesn't start again.
Yep.
So it's a little faster when you restart. I know people who never shut their computer off. Well, I'm guilty of that myself.
I am too, actually. Yep. Yep. I
very rarely get shut off.
Yep. And the reason for it for me is convenience, I guess. They really don't consume a lot of power, and there are theories out there about, you know, if a computer consumes more power by turning it on, you know, occasionally, and then turning it off, or if you just let it run all the time, because the biggest power consumption, of course, is when you boot your computer right away.
Absolutely.
All right, moving back to the topic at hand, speeding up access to data. You know, we talk about disk defragmentation. The other issue sometimes is that your hard drive will have errors that happen on it, and you won't have that ticking noise that goes on, but you'll have a sector that goes bad or whatever. And there are utilities that you can use that you can clean up those bad sectors on a hard drive, and that'll improve performance as well. Tell me a little bit about your experience with that.
Well, the newer drives have what's called smart drive. And they'll actually warn you, normally on a boot. When you boot your computer, you'll get a white thing across the screen that says this drive has bad sectors. You should consider replacing it right away.
Okay.
The older drives don't necessarily have that. There are great utilities out there for scanning drives. One of the good ones is actually built into Windows. Scan disk is decent. The problem with it is to actually physically check every sector on the drive, you have to do it on a reboot. It has to reboot the computer and do it before Windows starts.
Right.
And it's time consuming. I'll be honest with you. It takes a while, especially on these bigger drives.
But if
you're buying computers with half a terabyte in them right now, so.
Yep. Yep, so it would take a while to scan them. And like you said, the newer ones now are a little more smart, and they'll warn you of these sectors are failing. But if you have an older computer that seems to be running erratically, you may just have an issue with a hard drive that has a bad sector. And just like you, if I had a customer come in and they had this issue going on, I would highly recommend that they move to another hard drive, simply because, to me, that's a telltale sign that the hard drive is failing.
You bet. Sometimes you don't even get, even us techs don't get an error. When we scan the drive, it'll perform okay, but then the customer will take it home, and you can guarantee it's going to be, it's going to happen to them when it's not in the shop.
Right.
To look at.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about, before we come up to the next break here, about what you can do that are easy things to maybe speed up your computer. What are you thinking there as far as quick, easy things that a customer can do to, or anybody can do to just, you know, speed up their computer?
First and foremost, get rid of the temporary files. Start with the internet.
Okay.
Go to your internet properties, delete the temporary internet files, get rid of a portion of them. Only the real geeks know how to get rid of all of them, but, get free up that space. There's also a temp file under Windows that can be cleaned out. You don't want to delete the folder named temp, but you can empty it.
Okay. Okay.
So go to the search window or the start bar. We have time?
Yeah, keep going. You bet.
Okay. If you go to the search window, you can just put percent, which is shift 5, the word temp, T-E-M-P, and then shift 5 again. So percent temp percent, and hit enter, and it'll bring your temporary folder up. You can empty that file. It may warn you that some of the files are in use and can't be deleted. That's fine. There's probably a couple, three of them. Just leave them in there. but you'll get rid of the majority of it, and that'll free up some space on your hard drive. And then as the defragment goes through and sorts things out, you'll get that space back usable all in a big chunk.
Buddy, can you do me a favor and maybe post that on our blog, that little...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and that way people don't have to pull over and write that down or whatever. So we'll post that, everybody. Great way, though, to clean up that temporary file. And Buddy's right. That thing actually gets pretty full because it caches all of the websites that you've gone to and all this other stuff. It's great because it caches websites because you'll have quicker access to those sites. But a lot of the sites that we go to, or maybe you just go to it once or twice and that's about it, and all of a sudden all the stuff gets accumulated in your computer, and it's a great way to clean all that stuff out.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah,
so
you want that on the Tech Ranch post?
Is yeah, that would be great. Yeah, absolutely. So let's go on to maybe some hardware things that you can do. What can you do for hardware that would be really quick to clean up your computer or to speed up your computer?
More memory.
That's okay.
One that I see a lot, especially in the older Windows XP machines. You know, they came out with a gigabyte of RAM.
Yep.
Those machines are probably running at a decent rate. The little older ones that came out with 256 meg, great at the time when they came out. And you're talking machines that are 8 to 10 years old here.
Yep.
But great when they came out, but Windows has updated itself. And it's now in Service Pack 3, and Service Pack 3 uses probably 200 of that 256.
Right.
And if you're sharing 32 with a video card, you don't have very much RAM left to sort data out. Your machine is going to be a dog.
Yep. And we'll leave it right there. When we come back from the break, everybody, we will talk more about what you can do with memory and why your computer runs so slow when you don't have enough memory in it. So come on back, everybody.
You're listening to SuperTalk 1270's podcast, available online at supertalk1270.com.
Besides car insurance.
How about car payments?
My kids' diapers.
My groceries.
My collection of exotic reptiles.
On myself.
On a gym membership.
Sweet new mags from my 85 Monte Carlo.
Everyone needs extra cash for something. See if you get an amazing deal on auto insurance with Go Auto. Get the coverage you need, save money, and go your way. Get a quote with GoAutoND.com.
Everywhere he goes, post your comments or questions at thetechranch.com. Let's head back to the studio and join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Tech Ranch, everybody. We have Buddy Honrahan from White Sulphur Springs, Montana, and Concierge Computer Services. And we're talking a little bit about how you can speed up your computer. And Buddy Jim just actually took your advice and cleaned up his computer a little bit.
The one here in the studio. Yeah. And I'm sitting here, and it's going, and it's going. 30 seconds later, it's still going. There's a lot of stuff on there.
Yeah, yeah, but you cleaned out a lot of stuff.
How was that again?
That's our sound effects going on here, you know. Yes, yes.
Low-budget program.
Well, and speaking of which, I always got to throw this out there, too, and Jim's always excited about this. We are now a proud member of Tech Podcast Network.
Yes.
So, yes, he's always given us a standing ovation. Woo-hoo! For that. But we are now national on things like the Roku, Google TV, and that type of thing. So, again, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. I know. So, anyway, Buddy, we were just talking a little bit about checking your hard drive or a memory. Now, let's get back into that a little bit. When you have a situation where you have very limited memory, what your computer will do is it'll create a RAM disk on your hard drive, and it'll cache that, or it'll create a space that you can move things out for your programs that are opening, that type of thing, on the hard drive. But, of course, the hard drive runs at what? 1,000 times slower than RAM does?
At least, yeah. Yes. The RAM drive on the hard drive is much slower. It is nice because you can adjust the size of it. But what you have to remember, if you've got and Windows will adjust that, the newer Windows are set to automatically do it.
Right.
When you have a fragmented hard drive, which you shouldn't with the newer Windows, but it happens, and the computer's trying to create a RAM drive, then it can't create that drive all in one place. So your RAM drive becomes fragmented as well, which actually will more than likely slow your computer down.
Okay.
And speed it up.
Yep. So it's important. And, you know, in days gone by, memory was very expensive, but nowadays it's relatively inexpensive. So if you have a computer that is slow and you have space to add RAM, a person should do that.
You bet. You bet. And a great site to do that, you don't have to purchase RAM from them, but a great site with a great tester is crucial.com.
Yep.
And they have a little tester on there. You download it. It kind of gives you a visual of the inside of your computer without ever having to take the cover off.
Right. And it'll tell you, and that's crucial.com, C-R-U-C-I-A-L.com. And the little app actually will say your computer has a gig of RAM in it and is capable of having up to 4, and it'll show you the different types of memories you can put in there. So I agree. I use that. I use Crucial all the time, too. Now, what about Ready Boost?
Oh, Ready Boost is something I don't have a lot of experience with, just because I haven't taken the time to sit down and really play with it.
Oh, okay.
I think you're the geek to go on that one.
Well, then I will explain what Ready Boost is. It is very, very cool. If you have a Windows Vista or better Windows machine, 7 and 8, you can actually take a jump drive or a USB drive and plug it in and enable Ready Boost, and it'll actually act as a type of memory, you know, basically a RAM. And it doesn't have to be a flash drive either. What I do with my laptop is I put an SD card in it, and I use that as the Ready Boost. And that works very, very well, and I just leave it in all the time. And, of course, it's not protruding from my computer, so I can throw it in my computer bag or whatever without having this USB jump drive on there. And I actually have an extra 4 gigs of basically RAM by just putting an SD card into my computer, which is, I think, pretty cool.
That is very cool. That kind of clicks in my head now, thinking about, you know, you're not using that for anything else. You're not storing data on it, so it's not going to get fragmented up. It's going to use that as direct access, and that's the key.
Exactly.
Things work very smoothly.
Yep, and if you do have some photos or something you want to take off an SD card, you can easily swap that back out, you know, and your computer might run a little bit slower while you have that going on, but that has made a dramatic impact on my laptop since I started using the Ready Boost.
I'm going to have to try that out and let you know how it works.
Now, the other thing that on my computer, my desktop that I have at work, which is probably close to 4 to 5 years now, I know it'll surprise everybody that I don't have a brand new computer, but I like to keep things as long as I can with those type of things. But I put a solid-state drive in there, and it is amazing how fast my computer has become since I've done this. Have you had any experience with that at all?
I haven't had a machine myself with a solid-state drive, but I've worked on a few, and it's, you're right, the access time on a solid-state is much, much faster than a conventional drive. And something to mention about solid-state drives is no defragmentation required.
Right.
Defragmenting a solid-state drive will actually lessen its life. So
it is
not,
an amazing...
Not required.
Now, for those of you, you know, solid-state drive basically means no moving parts, and it's basically just like a USB thumb drive, you know, that you put into a USB port. I mean, it's working on the same type of technology, just on a much larger basis. They are very expensive, of course. If you're looking for anything more than 200 gigs, you're going to spend a lot of money on them. But in the 200 gig range or less, you can sometimes find them for under $1 a gig, you know, which I don't think is too terrible. I know my computer at work, when I put the solid state into it, I went from probably a boot time of 5 to 6 minutes. And I'm sure you can probably, you probably understand that I have one or two things on my computer at work, which was why it takes so long to boot up. But now it boots up in under 30 seconds. So
wow.
It's
yep. Awesome.
And I'll open up Photoshop. I'll literally double click on the icon and Photoshop is open. So it's an amazing thing, and a solid-state drives, you know, if a person's looking at maybe upgrading their computer to that, I would recommend it, actually. But, of course, there's a little work involved because you need to install your operating system and all of that to the solid-state drive. You just don't plug it in, and it works automatically. There's a little work that needs to happen, but it is a great way to speed up your computer.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
All right.
I was just glancing at drives prices.
Oh, there you go. I have you intrigued as well. Well, let's... I know I asked you to come up with a couple of unique websites. I was hoping to dedicate the whole last segment to it, but we ran out of time here with that, of course. But you had a couple of unique websites that you wanted to share with us today.
I do. I use a site all the time called Ninite. It's Ninite.com.
Okay, and what is that about?
Ninite is a site that has taken freeware. Well, it's all freeware. I guess if there isn't even any shareware on it, it's all free stuff. And they've set up a download matrix. Kind of hard to explain, but you can go in there and you can click on 7 or 8 or 2 or however many of the programs in the list that you want, download a single installer, tell it to run, and walk away. And it will download the programs that you chose to your computer with the default settings, no human interaction required. And I know a lot of my customers are scared. You know, I want iTunes, but it asks me all these questions, and I don't know what the answers are.
Sure,
that eliminates that. They don't have to answer the question.
Oh, okay, very interesting. Okay, and your next website.
This one is kind of off of the computer path a little
bit. That's okay.
But DIY, the do-it-yourself network, has DIY.com.
Okay.
And they have a little portion called I Want That. So it's DIY.com/I Want That.
Okay.
And there are some of the coolest gadgets. And, geeks just go crazy over it.
So are these ideas for gadgets that people are coming up with, or are these actual gadgets already available?
These are actual coming-to-the-market gadgets that are out there that people can... Good place to go and look for Christmas ideas, because wow, they got some really cool stuff that nobody would really think of.
That's pretty cool. Okay, so, I have to go check that out. Okay, and another website.
The one that I don't frequent enough is called Giveaway of the Day.
One of my favorites as well.
Yeah, and I used to be just religious and go to it every day and check. Basically, they take one piece of software every day and give it away. It can be, a $3 app that they're giving away, or I have seen $200, Photoshop-style programs, programs that you go in, you download, they send you a one-time key, you put it in, it's a full-blown version, you use it, as long as you don't take it back out. It's yours to use free for that.
All right, buddy. We're going to have to
for that day.
Cut you off right there because we're at the end of the show. Thanks, buddy, for being on the show. And come on back, everybody, next week, same time. See you then.
This is KLX AM, Mandan, Bismarck.
Catch this and other podcasts of Super Talk 1270 online at supertalk1270.com.